Welcome to the Six Ways to Sunday podcast, hosted by award-winning television director, documentary filmmaker, author, and speaker Craig D. Forrest. Join Craig for the next few minutes as he interviews leaders, artists, and creatives about trends and insights shaping our digital world and faith-based media. This podcast is produced and brought to you by Matchstick Media International. Now, here's Craig.
Special guest for our show today, digital change agent Yvonne Carlson. We'll talk about faith and technology. Let's jump back into the conversation. You've talked in the past about how technology can be leveraged for a number of causes, social change and such. Talk about that a little bit. How can technology be used to leverage to causes?
I'm going to go back to my experience with faith tech, being somebody who loves Jesus and somebody who loves technology, and we would do hackathons. So we would get together thousands of Christian men and women with different technology skills, designers, writers as well, you know, content people. And we would say, what problems do we need to solve? So one project that I really love was concepted during COVID, and it's called Sound of My Love. So because of the lockdowns, there were men and women dying without any family around them. So we did a hackathon, Faith Tech did a hackathon during COVID, and there were certain problems we wanted to solve. And one specific problem was this. So there was a team, they got together, they built an app, and they piloted this app in Mount Sinai Hospital in New York. And this is kind of the epicenter of COVID, you know, where people are dying alone. And they trained the staff to be able to use the app. And here's what it did. It allowed you to send a 1-800 number to loved ones of the individual, and they would record their thoughts and their message to the person who's in the hospital. And the tool would pull all that together, kind of like a mega podcast, right, with all these different people. And the staff member, the hospital staff, could play it for the person, for the patient. And so imagine feeling alone and then hearing the voices of your loved one or your loved ones in that moment. And so this is what technology can do. And we just have to cooperate with what God's doing. So again, it's just a tool. And so, you know, for people who are listening to this podcast, they have gifts and abilities. They may not see what they do as technology, but if they have the ability to create a tool that can draw people together to Christ, I mean, this podcast, Craig, that you're creating is a tool. This is where I think, you know, we need to be creative.
Yeah, I agree with that very much. And it's affirming also to know that when you're creating content, and in this case, content is conversations. Our podcast is just great conversations about faith, technology, media, arts, and how they all arrive at the intersection of faith. And that's so fulfilling for me as the producer and as the host. So many pastors and churches, out of incredible necessity during COVID, one week they have church, and the next Sunday there's nobody out there in the pew because it's all shut down. So quickly they had to scramble, Yvonne, to live streaming. Of course they did. And they weren't prepared, many of them. They had to learn, as we say, by the seat of their pants, go get some cameras or cell phones, set them up and all of that. And then now they're doing it. What are some of your observations about live streaming? I'll tell you real quick. I have a friend of mine in Puerto Rico that was doing live streaming. He says, we have a pastor that is in the tech room at church, and he is monitoring all of the messages that are coming up via live streaming, and he answers the messages as often as he can, as much as he can, in real time. so that these people with questions, whether it's information or answers to scripture, answers of loneliness, whatever it might be, searching, are answered right away. What would be two or three takeaways from live streaming that perhaps churches and ministers could do and could do better?
I think you mentioned one of them. The online engagement, just responding to people's comments, because you have them in a moment, and people have moments of vulnerability and you might miss it. So they're watching your service, they're interacting with the content, they're hearing what God is saying to them. But what if there's no one to respond to them or to talk to? Like, there may be, you know, something that they're grappling with, say suicide. I've definitely had that situation. Find volunteers. They are out there. Funny enough, you know, you would ask me, well, who's the ideal volunteer to answer some of those comments? I found that older Christians that are a little bit more seasoned, that have done life, are the best because they have wisdom. And so that could be, you know, please, you know, pray this prayer, it, or connect with the scripture, read the scripture. So that would be one, is just answering those comments. And then I would also say, you know, paying attention to their production value, spending money, strategically investing, you know, whether it's the studio, the equipment, and then training. I know that's what you do, Craig, but I've seen you in action, and the training is huge because you can provide all the tools. Oh, I've got a studio. I've got great cameras. I've got, you know, great mics. I've got all the things. But if you don't know how to apply those tools and to really maximize those tools, then you're not going to be able to create the kind of moving video that you could. I mean, a picture is worth 1,000 words. A video is worth 100,000, a million. I mean, mm-hmm. The emotion, the ability to connect with people through video is unprecedented. I know that you won't disagree with me there. I've worked with an organization called Stories in Grace, and they use film, specifically the Magdalena film from Jesus film, in a curriculum for people who are healing from trafficking. And I have been in different countries with people who've been through this trauma. And for example, them seeing Mary Magdalene with Jesus and how Jesus responds to her, life-changing. So get the right equipment, get the training to help your team create those videos that can change people's lives.
We're talking on the Six Ways to Sunday podcast with digital change agent Yvonne Carlson, and talking about technology and faith. I don't think we've had enough conversations in the seasons that we've done about where technology and faith, how they can intertwine with each other. And that's good. It's good. Very much so. You know, Yvonne, you talk about the importance of training. And of course, I used to have a really good head of hair. I had great hair when I was in my 20s. But I pulled it all out. Not literally, I'm being facetious here. Because I keep trying to tell pastors and leaders that you can get all the gear in the world, but somebody has to run it. But more importantly, someone has to use it creatively so you engage a listener or engage your audience. I also ask the question to people in my training, you ever seen a bad movie? Yeah. Well, they shot that movie with really expensive equipment and really good people. So all the equipment in the world, as good as it might be, a $200,000, $100,000 camera cannot create a film. It's people that do that. And you have to train them and show them how to do it. So pastors and leaders out there, don't go short on training. Spend as much money on the training as you did on the gear, on the equipment. And I just said amen to myself and all of that. Can we talk about technology and children? It's not on my list of things to talk about, but kids are wired since they're very, very, I mean, you can hand a smartphone to a 3 or 4 year old now, or an iPad, and they can get it up and running right away. There's good things to that. I would say some challenging things to that. Can you talk about that at all?
Yes. You actually hit a passion point. So I've been involved with training in this way. And I definitely think that every church should offer something like this to parents. We need to train our children on how to use media responsibly. This isn't something that they're really learning in schools. They do a little bit of this. You know, they'll be like being a good digital citizen. I've went through my son's curriculum with a fine tooth comb. And so they are telling, you know, young people about the dangers of the internet and some of these apps that they're involved with, but they're not talking about a set of values by which you evaluate your consumption. And so I think that's where the church can come in, whether it's a series on the topic, or a lot of times youth pastors will tackle this. What you consume becomes a part of who you are. And there are biblical values that you can apply to determining, again, what's your rubric? What are the questions you ask yourself when you're considering a movie or, you know, any sort of form of media? And the other thing I think that parents know and they've heard about, I have a psychology degree, so I'm not just a technologist. And so I apply the human factors to everything I do, is that when children use technology, mobile apps, that screen time, I tell my son, it can break your brain. And we heard this with television, right? The passive viewing. Kids need to read. Kids need to play. Their development relies on these things. So I encourage parents that if they have a device that they allow their children to use, that, you know, just like I have an Apple phone, it tells me my consumption habits. It tells me, you know, how I'm spending my screen time. Set limits. Set limits for your children. Teach them responsible consumption. And it really starts with you. Once in a while, we do media fasts in our home. And I can tell you, having worked in broadcasting, that was really hard. You know, I could do a media fast weekend, but really have those conversations as a family. And then how can the church be supportive of, you know, learning those principles to really teach responsible digital consumption?
Yeah, I have, you made me think of a conversation I had very early. I think it was our second interview on season one with Dr. Craig Detweiler, a guy that you would connect with on many, so many levels. He's now the Dean of Film and Arts at Grand Canyon University in Arizona. Really sharp guy. And we were colleagues at Pepperdine University as professors. I interviewed him, and he said that in his classes, and this was at that time he was at Pepperdine, he would, what would you say, not demand, or he would just strongly suggest to his students that they took one day a week as a digital sabbatical, a digital Sabbath, that they would turn off their phones and their devices for one full day every week. And he got feedback, he got pushback. Oh no, I'm not gonna have, you know, I might be an emergency call and I'm gonna, you know, all the different things that came up in their brains. And then after a few weeks of them taking a digital Sabbath of turn off the phone, you know, tell your mom and dad as students, hey, I'm gonna be on Saturday, I'm not gonna have the phone on. And you can get me on Sunday morning, so you don't worry about me. He started getting all these very, that really good feedback from his students that they enjoyed it, that they got more schoolwork done, they had more time to go take walks, and all these other extracurricular activities, read the Bible, pray, because they weren't distracted by technology and by their smartphones. And I thought, that sounds like a really good idea. That actually sounds like something from the book of Genesis, somehow, without smartphones involved with Genesis. And I just think your idea, Yvonne, that parents have to set the example and the standard is really right on. Is there any other encouragement you would say about that? What would it be?
Do not bring your phone to meals. How many of us have been out at a restaurant and we see people texting each other from across the table? Or you've got that work text that you have to answer. No, you don't. I think prioritizing time with our loved ones that's free from distraction is essential, especially in today's culture. We've got to be connecting in person authentically.
In the notes, you mentioned something, complete change of subject from that. And I agree. My wife, when we go out for dinner, she goes, put the phone down. And just turn it over. Just turn it over. I don't want you looking at it every, 3 minutes as stuff comes in. Really enjoying this conversation with Yvonne Carlson, digital change agent. Hope you'll join us in the next episode. We'll pick up where we left off.
You've been listening to the Six Ways to Sunday podcast with Craig D. Forrest, brought to you by Matchstick Media International, dedicated to excellence in media through inspiration, vision, and education. To learn more, visit us on the web at matchstickmedia.org. That's matchstickmedia.org. Your generous donations, large or small, help defray costs for producing this creative podcast. Thanks for listening and subscribing.